Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Over the last few years, we've sort of become experts on quarterback changes. Usually the way it works is the head coach opens the door to a quarterback change. That's how it all starts. Then we all jump to the conclusion, well, they're clearly going to change quarterbacks because the head coach, you know, opened the door. Then one of the famed NFL reporters comes out and says, report, Mike White is replacing Zach Wilson. Or in this case, Jackson Dart is replacing Russell Wilson. The next step after that is for, obviously, the coach to confirm it and for the coach to give his reasons and say, oh, yeah, we're making a quarterback change. Bah, 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 bah. Then we hear from the new quarterback, and sometimes we even hear from the former quarterback. So, obviously, we've gone through these steps throughout the week. On Monday, early on in our show, Brian Daboll opened the door. On Tuesday, Adam Schefter really opened the door by reporting it's happening. And then today, all within the last hour or so, all the important people spoke. So let's start with the head coach, Brian Daboll. So Brian did something that he normally does on Wednesdays. He talked glowingly about the opponent, on and on and on about the Chargers. I think kind of knowing we're all there not to hear his opinion on Justin Herbert,
right?
But we want to hear how you address the quarterback situation. And after about 4 or 5 minutes, Brian Daboll, with a plane flying overhead, decided to tell us, hey, I'm making a quarterback change.
Quarterback situation, I met both with Russ yesterday and Jackson privately, and Russ was nothing but a pro, which I would expect him to be. It's my decision. I'm going with Jackson. We're going to get him ready to play this week and the remainder of the season. He's going to do everything he can. Russ will be the backup. The conversations that I've had with these young men will be private. The details will be private. All I can tell you is we're going with Jackson, and we're getting ready to play. So I'm not going to add too much to it. Those are private conversations. It's my decision, and we're going with Jackson.
Two things were said in the open that would continue throughout this press conference, which is it was his decision. Yep. He reiterated that 4 or 5 times. And then B, I'm not going to get into details. And so throughout this press conference, when pressed for, hey, why'd you do it? And there's a lot of ways you can go about it. I mean, TQ, I think you laid it out perfectly yesterday. Jackson give us a better chance to win.
Yep. Which he hasn't said yet, by the way.
He has not said that. He had a chance to say that.
It feels like that's what he's saying.
Well, I think...
Because he doesn't want to disparage Russ.
He doesn't want to disparage Russ, and he doesn't really want to say anything. Like, yeah. I think that's sort of how he's done press conferences the time he's been here, which is less is more.
Agreed.
So he gives you that, and I thought when he said, I'm not going to speak much on these private conversations, that was a sign that we weren't going to get much from the rest of this press conference. But here's one exchange in which he continues to give you nothing and is pressed even further using the fans as a weapon to try to get Brian Daboll to answer his thinking.
Look, I did it. I'm not going to get into the specifics, like I said before. I think it's the right thing for our football team, and that's why I'm doing it.
You don't think you owe it to your fan base to tell it, to give an explanation of why you're doing this now?
Yeah, I appreciate our fans. We got to do a better job all the way around, and that's what we're trying to do.
Did you like that question? Because I loved it.
I don't know why it's relevant. Like, why do the fans need to know? Did the fans? This isn't like Eli Manning, as we talked about yesterday, getting benched after a stellar 14-year career. This is Russell Wilson. He was here for a cup of coffee. And most of the fans didn't like him anyways.
Right.
So, I mean, personally, they do. I'm talking about professionally. So, it's just a weird question to me because I don't think the fans care. I don't think there is a fan that is saying, Jackson Dart should not start, and I hate this for Jackson Dart and for the New York Giants. Every fan wants Jackson Dart. We know this, right? And so it's just weird how he worded it.
So
if he would have said, can you give us a reason?
Right.
That'd be different. But to, I don't know, talk like he's talking for the fan. The fan is like, I don't need a reason. I'm good with it.
Well, I think the fans are, the way I view the fans, and obviously we talk to a lot of you on the radio, interact and all that. We can't speak for everyone because fans are different. Sean is a fan. Tommy is a fan. But, they can't be any more different.
Here's the thing that I know from playing in this town and being in this town for a long time. The fan is not stupid.
Correct.
And so if Dave tells, he doesn't need to tell you because you know already. You're not stupid. You watch football, don't you? You saw game one, which was anemic and horrible. You saw game two, which was great until it wasn't in the end in overtime. And you saw game three, especially his last red zone performance, which was confounding.
Yes, hitting the goalpost.
The look on Russell's face as he was lost and like throwing the ball into nowhere, it was just kind of like, dude, this guy can't be our quarterback. And so the fan doesn't need to know. The fan knows.
I think a lot of Giant fans don't need to know. You're right. Mm-hmm. They're very simply, hey, Jackson's playing, and I'm excited for Sunday. I think there are some fans who fall on the lines, and I kind of laid this out a few days ago, that why? Like, I just want to hear the why. Is it simply what
why?
You said?
But you know.
No, I don't, because I've laid out that it could be job. I want to save my job. It could be as simple as.
But he's never going to say that.
I know he's not going to give you that answer. Of course not. But that's why, hey, just say what you said, which is he gives us the better chance
to
win.
I don't think Dave thinks his job is in danger.
You don't think so?
I don't think he does. In order to do this job, to play this game and to coach this game, you have to be blind to the obvious.
But are people blind to the obvious? Even though you should be. Do you think every coach is?
If you're not, and you worry about what people say about you,
you're in trouble.
Then forget it. You have zero shot.
Yeah.
So just knowing Dave's, I know he doesn't think that what the fan thinks. Oh, he's in the hot seat. He doesn't think that. He thinks he's just trying to figure out a way to make his team better. And
he didn't say that though. And he could have. It's easy. It's an easy one.
I just like you have to have an ego to be good at this. I'm talking about from a player and a coaching standpoint.
Right.
And if you don't, and you're worried about what Joe fan is saying or Joe media member is saying, you might as well just pack your stuff and leave. You have no shot if you care about what people think and say.
The reason why the question is so loaded but so brilliant is, I want to give you an example. So my son is at work today. Not the one who screams into a microphone, give me dollars, Spence, but my oldest son, Jet.
Mets suck.
And he loves coming here. He reads a little bit. He uses his tablet. He hangs out sometimes in the studio. I had to explain to him during the last commercial break. Trust me, this is all going to be relevant to Brian Daboll. Trust me. I had to explain during the commercial break why I needed to read now. Okay, you use your tablet's time to read. Instead of me, and I had a choice. I could have been like, because I want you to read, son. I want you to read. I didn't do that. I did what, who's the reporter who brought up the fans?
It was Jordan Renan.
That was Jordan Renan. Here's what Jordan did, and I love it. He blamed it on someone else. So I said to Jet, Mama wants you to read. So what Jordan is saying is, Jordan don't give a rat's ass about the fans. No offense, Jordan. It's more, I'm me guilt Daboll into maybe giving an answer. Just like I guilted Jet into reading because Mama wouldn't be happy. Meanwhile, that's what you do when you say, don't you owe the fans? It's a guilt question. Yeah. So I get as a player why you hate that, TK.
Yeah, but
as a fan, I love it.
But the true answer is no. I don't owe the fans jack. Seriously.
He could say that. It won't go over well.
Of course he can't say that. But I don't owe you. Here's what I owe the fan. As a player, bust my ass and give my all every single time I'm on the field. As a coach, help my team win. That's all.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I owe the fan, right? I don't owe you an explanation. Right? Why do they need an explanation? They don't care about the explanation. They just want to see a guy busting his ass or a coach winning games.
Look,
that's all that the fan wants.
I don't mean to take a shot at the most well-run franchise in New York sports, clearly the New York Knicks, but the Knicks have proven they never have to give the fans an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Leon Rose hasn't done like a press conference in 4 years. And you know what Knicks fans say? Who cares? We're winning.
They're winning.
So
just win.
The beauty.
And if you don't win, guess what? They'll get rid of you.
But while you're losing. See, here's the thing, and Leon's a great example of this. The Knicks had a bad year 3 years ago. It feels like a long time ago. But you remember that?
Yeah.
A bad year? And people wanted to hear from Leon. It was very different then. The tone around this town was, how come this guy doesn't do a press conference? He owes the fans. Mm. And the Knicks basically told the audience, go F yourself. We're not going to tell you.
Right.
When you're losing, it's more difficult. Right now, the Giants, they've been losing. They've been losing for a long time. So he's held under that microscope. Same with Aaron Glenn right now. That's why I got so pissed off when he's telling me it's not the same old Jets.
Yeah.
You keep winning, you could say whatever you want. Anyhow, let's hear from Jackson Dart. You set this baby up for us, Shawnee.
Okay, so we're going to go Jackson Dart first. Jackson Dart was asked about what it's going to take to basically be sharp and be ready, and he had an answer that was worthy of bleeping out.
You just got to make sure that you're prepared every day because, just the questions and, the situations that are being put on the quarterback. When you're watching film, you got to know exactly what you're talking about. You got to be on your point blank period. So, I think for me, I'm just trying to be prepared each and every day. And I think that, my study habits and, having those extra meetings are going to, put me in a good position to be confident when I'm in those meetings, when I'm on the field, making checks, whatever it may be. That way I can just, play fast and the guys can have a lot of confidence in me.
Why are there always planes going overhead?
Because it's Newark Airport. Doesn't it feel like he was answering that question with a smile on his face?
Oh, he was. I watched the video.
I could just hear it.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. I could just hear it.
He's excited. I mean, the guy's finally getting... He thought, well, he was sitting there. I remember when we had him on in August. And I'm, of course, being a jerk, preparing him with, when are you going to start? When are you going to start? Do you want to start? When are you going to start? And you could tell he's like, I want to start right away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to sit here and wait the entire season.
I've never not started.
That's right. And so I'm sure he is like on cloud nine knowing, wow, I'm 4 weeks in and I'm getting a chance to start.
Yeah, so theater of the mind for anybody listening on the radio because I was able to watch these clips. Picture Jackson Dart in his red practice jersey with both hands cupped inside his shoulder pads, just smiling ear to ear as he answers all these. That was the image. All right, the next one. What can Jackson Dart bring to the table as a starting quarterback for the Giants?
Yeah, I think that, first of all, we just got to continue to, keep the main thing process-wise. Everybody throughout a season is going to face adversity. So I think for us, it's going to show what kind of grit we have as a team, character-wise, how do we handle, when we punch, when we're down, how are you going to respond to that? And I think, the biggest thing for me is I want to do my best to be a spark. I want to create excitement on the field. I want to be explosive when opportunities are there and, try to, just bring, a little bit of swagger.
Keep the main thing is the newest cliche that's everywhere now. I'm going to start writing down cliches whenever I hear them.
That's an old one.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
All right. I just popped in my head recently.
I remember it from years ago. And it went away for 20 years.
Well, you know what Jackson Dart's saying? I'm bringing that back.
Now it's back.
All right. What else?
Okay. How about, does Jackson Dart feel pressure to save the Giants?
Mm.
I don't really feel pressure. I feel like, pressure is given to those who play at a high level, and the best players in the world are the ones that you are kind of involved with that word pressure. So I don't feel it in that standpoint. My focus is just trying to just win one game at a time, and we've been so close each week, and it's been tough to watch. It's been tough, as a team to come back in the locker room when you're just that close to winning. So our focus just has to be on each day, each rep, individually, how can we you know, be better? How can we hold each other accountable as players, as leaders of the team, and you know, just find a way to just, you know, finish games when we need to.
He's given all the right answers. Mm-hmm. The kid has definitely been impressive in the way he answers questions,
right,
the confidence he exudes without it being cockiness. I thought Connor Hughes explained that very well yesterday on the program, because there is a difference. You know, there's being cocky and there's being confident, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he certainly exudes that. And look, the wind's at his back, because even if you disagree with the timing of it, you're not disagreeing with Jackson Dart playing eventually, and you're certainly not clinging to Russell Wilson. You're just nervous that maybe he's not ready. Every single Giant fan, and non-Giant fans, myself included, is damn excited to watch this kid play football.
Of course. And whether he's ready or not won't matter, because he's going to have to figure out how to get ready.
Yeah.
Okay, now Russell Wilson met the media.
I'm so curious if Russ, I mean, he's staying as a backup.
He's going to be positive.
He's got to be, because, and I think, Sean, you laid this out a few days ago, that your assumption, not that this happened, but your assumption was the Giants are probably talking to him, giving him a chance to be released, giving him a chance to leave, like, ah, we respect you, we'll let you go. And it was almost all going to be up to Russ on how he wanted to handle this thing.
Yeah.
And the fact that he is the backup, like, he's not being thrown away, shows you he wants to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether that's because he likes going to Broadway shows and going to Knicks games, I have no idea. But he obviously wants to be here.
Yeah, so Russell Wilson, what are your plans as the backup quarterback for the Giants?
For me, right now, I think it's really about the team. Really about, you know, helping Jackson the best I can possibly can. You know, I remember when I was a rookie. I remember coming in as a young rookie and looking for help and looking for answers and stuff like that. And, you know, I just told him, I got your back, and I got, you know, whatever I can help you with. And help him get prepared the best he can possibly get prepared. So I know that matters, because I've lived it, and I've experienced it. So, you know, I think for me personally, you know, as well as, I'm not done. I got so much belief in myself and know what I'm capable of. I believe I was able to show it, especially, you know, on the road in Dallas and everything else. I know that can help this football team, you know, if that comes up.
All right, still believes in himself. Mm. I mean, you got to.
Of course.
You don't play in the NFL without believing in yourself.
Right.
Yes, and last but not least, is he ever going to ask for a trade or release?
Oh.
No, I'm focused on helping this team win. You know, I'm focused on helping Jackson. I'm focused on me getting ready to be the best version of me today on Wednesday. And so, you know, I want to be here. You know, I love this organization. I love the process of it all. I love the guys in the locker room. I'm not giving up on this, on us in this season. You know, I don't know any other thought, any other thing than finding a way through. And sometimes you got to climb under the wall. Sometimes you got to, you know, fight through it. Sometimes you got to, there's battles and things that you face in life or in sport. And, you know, I'm going to help lead the way in every way I can to make sure that we figure that out.
I'm surprised. Like, if you believe that much in yourself, mm-hmm, wouldn't you want to be traded so you get a chance to play somewhere else?
I guess, but I don't know if that's an interesting question for him. Because he's 38 years old.
Yeah, he doesn't have that much time.
37 years old.
Right.
If he waits and he gets traded, now he's on his fifth team?
Well, he's going to be on his fifth team eventually. He's not going to be a Giant next year.
If he continues to play.
Well, he just said he thinks he has a lot more to give. To me, that's a contradiction. And I don't think that makes him a quitter to say, yeah, I'd like to be traded.
I'm not going to sit here and parse his words, because I have no idea what his plans are, but he's saying the right thing.
No, yeah, absolutely.
It's like I told you, he would say the right thing.
Yeah,
he's saying the right things.
He's absolutely saying the right thing. I'm more just thinking, like, as a competitor, wouldn't he be like, yeah, trade me?
But the situation could also change within the next month before the deadline, too.
And I think in terms of what? Him restarting for the New York Giants?
No, in terms of going somewhere in a trade in 3 weeks and saying, you know what, this opportunity looks all right. Like, they could have left it at, we're going to keep presenting you with opportunities.
The Giants and Joe Shane, and was it Joe Shane who did this? Yes. Joe Shane did something that was so classy 2 years ago, and I didn't understand it. Maybe it means I'm not classy, Tiki. Mm. When he went to Leonard Williams, this was Joe Shane, right?
Correct.
And he said, hey, you want to get traded? Where do you want to go?
Right.
And he kind of helped him get traded to the destination he wanted to go
Seattle.
To. I looked at that and said, wow, that's a really nice gesture, but man, as a general manager, I wouldn't do that. I would trade you to the highest bidder. And if I'm Joe Shane with Russell Wilson, I would kind of do the same thing. I'd be like, Russ, no offense, bro. We're going to trade you if we get a good offer. Like, no offense. If the Cincinnati Bengals get desperate and they're offering us a third-round pick, hasta la vista. Like,
baby.
I'd have to be cutting as a general manager.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's just odd with Russ. Because there is a value to having Russell Wilson in your locker room. Because he is ridiculously positive.
But and isn't Jameis Winston as well? Doesn't he fit that vibe as well?
It's a different kind of positivity. But it's... Jameis is here for the long haul of development of Jackson Dart.
Right, because he signed a two-year deal.
Exactly. Russ is here, was here to win games. And he just wasn't doing it consistently. And not really at all. They didn't win a game yet. And so as Connor told us yesterday, and he's so right, what was the point of Russell Wilson if he's not winning games?
Yeah. So. I think the reason Russ wants to say, I think this is all the Knicks' fault. I think he really wants to be at opening night. And he knows he ain't getting courtside seats if he's the quarterback of the Bengals.
That's not true.
I think that's the problem right now.
You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+. Watch your local NFL game all season long. Kicking off with this juicy Week 4 matchup between the LA Chargers and the New York Giants. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
There is one more closing quote I think we should play. This from neither of the quarterbacks or the coach, but Malik Nabers. Now, Malik Nabers in year two has played with Daniel Jones, mm-hmm. Tommy DeVito, Drew Locke, Russell Wilson, and now Jackson Dart is a number one wide receiver.
Wow.
So
five
quarterbacks already. This will be the
in
fifth
two
quarterback.
Years.
Yep.
You know what Garrett Wilson's thinking?
That is unbelievable.
Garrett's like, that's nothing, bro.
So, what has Malik Nabers learned from the Giants' changes at quarterback and how to best handle the situation when talking to the quarterbacks? Okay.
What did you learn from those quarterback changes last year about sort of the best way to approach this situation?
They're going to find a way to get one the ball.
That is awesome.
He's funny. I like Malik Nabers.
That is a great answer.
Malik has the balance of being very cocky, but it not being like your typical over-the-top.
Well, he's not loud.
Yeah, he's very straightforward. Like, right. I'm Malik, get me the damn ball. Even this year, when he had that little yelling match with Daboll, it felt like positive. It felt like, damn right. And then even after the game, like, he always gave the right answers. He's like the good kind of wide receiver diva, in my opinion. But there you go. Yeah. It is all official. Jackson Dart on Sunday as the man at MetLife Stadium.
No audio here, but this just coming out of the Giants locker room, and maybe best for Tiki to answer.
Mm-hmm.
Wandell Robinson has told the media how Giants players found out about the quarterback change.
Yep.
Through Twitter, just like everybody else.
Is that right?
Yes, that's what Wandell was saying.
That's crazy. I think they kind of knew, though. You would have to be not paying attention at all to have not known that.
Well, do players pay attention to the press conference of the head coach?
It's not even the press conference of the head coach.
So how would you know? The meetings?
As soon as a press conference happens, somebody says something.
Gotcha.
Somebody is made aware of it. And so they knew this was coming.
Well, what I don't fully understand, and it's not a big deal, it's not the end of the world, is, you know, Sean, you predicted the way this was going to go down. When Daboll opens the door on Monday, it's obvious they're making a quarterback change.
Yes.
But you said, yeah, the next step is Adam Schefter's going to tweet something.
Right.
I don't understand why teams go through the, hey, let's just leak it to Schefter. Like, why not just announce it on your own? And especially in this case, if Wandell Robinson is confirming, oh, yeah, we found out through Schefter, why not tell your players before you ever decide to leak it to Schefter? Because clearly Schefter found out through a Giants leak. Who did it? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But why they did it, I still don't really understand. Why leak it? What the hell's the point of that?
Just the way it operates.
Why?
I don't know. Just the way it operates.
I don't understand that.
In my day, it was Jay Glazer. Now it's Adam Schefter.
And it's nothing against Jay or Adam. It's just, if I'm a franchise and I'm making a decision like that, make the decision and announce it. Make your own news.
Right.
Why allow Schefter to get like an 18-hour head start by writing breaking news? I don't see the benefit of it for the team when that happens.
It probably isn't a benefit for the team, but it is part of the economics, and I'm using that word intentionally, of the NFL. It stacks.
Mm.
And you have almost 24 hours then of the team's PR being able to look at the reaction from both fan base, reporters, and kind of prep. Is there any question we're not going to be prepared for in this quarterback change to kind of know where it's coming from or how it's coming
Interesting.
From?
All right. Let's get to your calls, 888-808-1019, the toll-free number. Let's go to Wilson in Roxbury. Good afternoon, Wilson.
Hey, Evan. Hey, Deke. How are you?
I was good, Wilson.
Good, man.
All right. Listen, if Giant fans believe that this call was made by this horrendous head coach and this horrendous general manager, that their days are done, their days are over, might as well wait for the Easter Bunny to come to dinner. this is an inept owner that is throwing a bone to a dying franchise, because otherwise Sunday, Evan, Antique, the stadium was going to crush him down on his head. The only question Giants fans want to know is this, man. Why is Brian Daboll and Joe Shane still in the building? I mean,
because once you make the decision, which for the record I disagreed with, but it's over. Once you make the decision to bring them back and allow them to have a draft and a training camp and start the season, getting rid of them in September is stupid. So arguing what we argued in January, it's 9 months ago.
Yeah.
Like, once you make the decision to bring them back, and I was a supporter of blowing the whole thing up, but I am going to defend to my core the idea that they need the rest of the season. Because once you make the decision, it serves no purpose other than giving bloodthirsty fans their pound of flesh on a Tuesday.
By the way, and there is no chance John Mara made this decision. So I love you, Wilson, but that did not happen.
No, I don't think John Mara made the decision, but it is weird that Brian Daboll said 5 times I made the decision. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's it. See, can I give you my psychoanalyzing stuff? It's not John Mara. Like, people are going to think that, totally fine. That's not what this is. I have another conspiracy behind this. It feels like him and Joe Shane, you know, there may have been not on the same page.
I honestly think he was saying that so that if there are any players who are upset by this, they come to him and not the position coach.
So it's more put it on me.
Yes.
Which is good leadership, by the way. You always, as the leader, want to say, put the bad on me.
This is me. So if you have a problem, come to me.
The greatest leader in our town right now, I know a lot of you guys hate him, but he poses all the great leadership qualities, is actually Brian Cashman. No, truly, I mean that. I've read all these books about leadership, and Brian Cashman does all of these things. And what Brian Cashman does, and this is not me defending his moves or anything like that, when something good happens, when someone asks him a question about a positive move that's made, I want you to listen to this and go back in the archives. Brian Cashman will never take credit. He will give credit to people who work for him.
Right.
When a bad move is made, he takes the blame. It's good leadership. So if it's a leadership reason for that answer, that's great leadership.
Yeah.
But I don't know. My brain's running in a different direction.
It annoys people because, as I was talking about with the Mets just a few minutes ago, everybody wants to roll the rock uphill. They want to place the burden where it probably doesn't belong.
Right.
And so if it wasn't Dave's and it wasn't Shane, it definitely was John Mara. Oh, shut up.
Let's go to Mike in Manhattan. What's up, Mike?
Evan and Tiki, what's going on?
What's
good?
Tiki, question for you. With the offensive line not being as good as they say it is,
it's better.
How do they expect Dart to do well when he's admittingly saying that the offensive line needs to improve?
The play calling is going to look significantly different.
Because of who the quarterback is.
Because of the skill set of this quarterback.
Right.
Jackson Dart had packages that they put him in on. There were a lot of zone reads. Some of them he kept. One of them he tried to... I mean, most of them he handed off. One of them he tried to keep. That's going to become a play. Right? It's something that's in your arsenal. How many rollouts did we see in this Russell Wilson-led offense? 2, 3, maybe? In the first 3 weeks? You're going to see tons of those. How many reverse rollouts did you see? Definitely none, because trust me, Russell Wilson has a hard time throwing to his right on the run. There's no way in hell he's throwing to his left on the run. And so there are things that you can do offensively if you think your offensive line has trouble with whatever position on the defensive front. And so you find a way around that. But I just think there's more that Jackson Dart can do. Russell Wilson is maybe a little bit taller than me. He doesn't throw a lot. How many balls over the middle of the field do we see this year?
None.
We saw some seams down the hashes, but how many digs have we seen? The play calling just becomes different with Jackson Dart as a quarterback. And it's not a knock on Russell Wilson. He's had an unbelievable career, but it's the reality of Russell Wilson.
It's a different player.
Different player.
Different skill sets. And I think because of that, what we are going to see, not just on Sunday, but over the next, you know, hopefully Jackson stays healthy so we see him for the next 14 weeks.
Right.
If my math is correct, 15 weeks. Yes. Is I think we're going to see some plays that will electrify Giant fans and say, oh, Russ can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But Jackson can. And then there's going to be mistakes. And you know why there's going to be mistakes? Because a wise man once told me, rookies suck. And rookies are going to make rookie mistakes.
Right.
That's the likelihood of this situation. One thing we will do, and we'll do it on Friday, so everyone has time to prepare, is we are going to make official stat predictions for Jackson Dart's NFL debut. We look forward to that. We did that with Tommy DeVito sometimes last year. This is a lot more exciting doing it with Jackson Dart. But we'll come back and get back to your phone calls and also why Yankee fans are feeling very different than they felt 2 weeks ago. 888-808-1019. Before I get back to your calls, Mets, Yankees, Giants quarterback change, this always annoys me. So Gary Cohen caused controversy last night, and in my opinion, people are angry at the wrong thing, as always. So for those who missed it, Gary Cohen brought up a story that honestly I was not even aware of until he brought up, and that is the fact that Matt Shaw, formerly of my fantasy team, well, the season's over, which is why he's not on it, missed Sunday's game in the middle of a pseudo-pennant race to go to the funeral service of Charlie Kirk, who was murdered last week. And so, I don't know, missed the game. And so Gary brings up, tells the story, first I'm hearing of it, about, and really Gary gave an opinion. It was weird that he wasn't there, middle of a pennant race. And my opinion on missing games for personal reasons, and I've been very consistent about this as a fan, I think you'll like this, Tiki, as a player, is I will never get on a player for missing a game for personal reasons. Right. It is up to them on what is deemed personal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially in baseball where there's 162 of these things. It's different with football.
Well, yeah, each game values a little bit more.
Right, and you have guys legitimately debating whether or not they're going to miss games to go see a baby be born.
Which I respect.
Of course.
Like a funeral, a baby being born, yeah. Honestly, a dog dying.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I get it, and I don't choose to criticize players for that. I know around here it's been different. You know, guys miss opening day, and it's like, oh my God, why is he going to see his wife give birth? I get it. Everyone can have an opinion. Y'all are right to have an opinion. My opinion is I never get on players for missing games, which as a former player, I'm sure you're like, oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you, Evan.
So I don't have a problem with Gary Cohen having an opinion, even if I disagree with it. I think in this country, we need to learn that people are going to disagree. That's okay. My problem with Gary Cohen, and there's no disputing this, is he didn't tell the full story, and that bothers me.
Mm.
I've learned over the last 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, that when I read the newspaper or when I listen to cable news, I then have to do more research because sometimes the whole story isn't there.
Isn't that a shame?
It's a damn shame, and it annoys me, and yep. I'm not perfect. Are there times I come on the radio and miss part of the story? I do, and I feel horrible about it. Like, I was joking with Josh Hart yesterday. Oh, he demanded a trade. We played the whole audio clip. And I think sometimes when we don't tell the whole story, whether it's me as a talk show host or Gary as a broadcaster or a writer, there's only two reasons why it happened. Number one is you didn't do your job good enough. You were lazy. I will raise my hand.
Mm.
There are days, and I don't want to be, where if I didn't tell you the whole story, I promise you, it wasn't because I was trying to convince you of something. I was being lazy. Bad job by me. The other one is actually worse. You're being deceitful.
Right.
I didn't know this about Matt Shaw. I found out because I had to Google it. Matt Shaw and Charlie Kirk had a personal relationship. I didn't know that. Gary Cohen didn't tell us that. I didn't know that Erica Kirk, who I get emotional thinking about what she said mm-hmm. at that speech at that funeral the other day,
great.
When she forgave,
right.
Amazing. She texted this guy and said, hey, you're close with my husband. I'd like you to come to the funeral. Now, you have every right in the audience to say, it's a pennant race. I don't like it. You can have whatever opinion you want. But we should know the facts. What Gary did last night, and I love Gary Cohen, I didn't like it because he didn't tell us the full story. I had to go on the internet and find the full story.
Yeah.
But that's the full story.
Most people didn't follow through and get the full story.
No.
That's the issue.
I went and texted you guys immediately and said, I didn't know this about Matt Shaw. Now, for everyone out there, you have a problem with him going to the funeral? God bless you. I have a problem with it. You have no problem with him going to the funeral? Great. Have whatever opinion you want. All I know is we need all the information. And the fact that he had a personal relationship with this man and his wife personally texted him to say it would mean a lot to me mm-hmm. to come to this funeral, to me completely changes the story. That's a bad job by Gary Cohen. With that said, the other angle that I don't have an opinion on, I want to ask you as a former player is, how do players react
mm-hmm.
when guys miss a game? Obviously, football different than baseball for any personal reason,
right.
Like, is there resentment in rooms when
no,
that happens?
I don't think so, and I especially don't think so anymore. You know, back when it felt like winning was the only thing, and you need
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Needed everybody to be all in all the time. Maybe there were issues that would come up. But in today's world, athletes are different. Their priorities are different. I'm not saying they don't want to win less, but I'm just their interests are different. Their scopes in life are different. I think, you know, my generation maybe, and before mine, it was, I play football, that's what I do. I pick things up, I put them down type of thing. It was that kind of myopic focus on just playing football. Don't do anything else. Don't be on social media, even though it didn't exist, but you know what I mean?
Right.
I used to get in trouble because I would go do media, right? The guys would get annoyed because I was on TV or whatever it may be. And so I think that is so completely changed that if you have a legitimate reason, guys are going to support you, period.
It's good to hear because I feel like we pick our spots, and that's what bothers me. What bothers me is every human being is different. I'm very different than you. It's very different than Sean. My reasons for missing a show, you could look at and say, that's ridiculous. But to me, it matters. Sandy Koufax is a legend. Why is he a legend? He's a legend because he was a great player, of course. He's also a legend because Sandy Koufax said on Yom Kippur, I'm not pitching game one of the World Series.
Right.
And that was 1965.
You got to stand on something.
And he stood on that.
Right.
And for many years, rightfully so, he's a legend. I haven't heard anyone question him on that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure anyone did. Not that there was sports talk radio in 1965, but I think sometimes we're selective in what we're pissed about. So let me just be the first to tell you, even though we've already discussed this 6 months ago, do you remember the Pete Alonso stuff?
Yes.
Pete Alonso admitted, hey, yes. You know, my wife's due. I'm not going to tell you the due date. And we did the math, and we were having some fun.
Well, I mean, he made us do the math because he was like, it could get dicey.
Right, could get dicey. What he meant was, his wife is due to give birth right around now, right around playoff time. Pete Alonso is allowed to miss a playoff game to see the birth of his child.
Mm-hmm.
And I know
especially his first child.
Especially. But spoiler alert.
After the first one, it's kind of like, yeah, okay. I was there for the first one.
But you know there's people out there, maybe Sean, maybe Tommy, I don't know, people on our radio station, people in the audience who are going to have a problem with that. And you have a right to, I guess.
Yep.
But the way I've always viewed this consistently, whether it's death, birth, holiday, animal in the family, whatever it is, I'm not going to get on a player for missing a game for something they deem really personal to them.
Yeah. If I was going to get mad at Pete Alonso and I was a Met fan, it wouldn't be about the birth date because that is what it is. I'd be like, dude, didn't you do the math before? Right? Didn't you think about it before? Like, wait, dang it.
Well, Pete Alonso did supply a big hit last night, single off the fence that I felt was getting out. Anyhow, let's get back to your calls. A lot on the table. We'll get a lot more into the Yankees as the show rolls on. Prepare you for the Yankee game tonight, the Met game tonight as well. Checking on the lineups, 888-808-1019. Let us go to Paul in Newark, New Jersey. What's up, Paul?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All's good, man.
Good, man.
Good. I do fault the front office with how they put this team together. The pitchers, I call it the beginning of the season. Last year, they brought in these reclamation projects. They had the ghost whisperer. They have the pitching lab. Did a good job. Why are you doing it? This is supposed to be an all-in year. They went all in on Soto, but I didn't like the pitching. I knew it was going to be trouble. And Evan, I love you. You're my fellow Met fan. You said, pitchers, they don't need great pitching to win this year. Their lineup's going to score so many runs, pitchers not going to win it for them. I don't think even you thought the pitching would be this bad.
I never
to blow
thought.
So many games.
No, no, you nailed it at the end.
Yeah.
I never thought the pitching would be this bad. I also never thought it would be as good as it was over the first 2 months of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the counter that I would offer to they didn't do enough to add to this rotation, which obviously is backed up by the fact their pitching hasn't done well. Who did you want? Like, I'm going to raise my hand and tell you who I wanted. I wanted Corbin Burns.
Right, hurt.
Hurt. Tommy John surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you look at...
He wouldn't be available right now.
He wouldn't be. Like, not to call Sal out, but I'm calling myself out on him. I know Sal wanted Walker Buehler. Well, what happened to him?
Yep.
So, even if they were more aggressive in adding starting pitching, I look around and say, all right, well, who would it have been? Trading for Garrett Crochet? Sure. It was going to cost you a lot. It was going to cost you a lot in prospect capital. Would it have been worth it? Certainly with the way he's pitched, it appears that way. And the other one is your guy, Max Fried. But the Mets were never even linked to him. Mm-hmm. And they were never going to make that kind of a long-term offer. So, yeah, the pitching wasn't good enough. David Stearns has deserved a lot of blame. But there's not like there's that many guys that they could have gotten that you're like, damn it, why'd you get him?
You go back and look at all of them. And we I think we did this at some point a month or two ago. And none of them worked out the way that you would have thought. And so... you did the best with what you could, with what you could get. And they were good for a little bit. But ultimately, I think what he said first was the more pertinent part, which is that this lineup, and Carlos Mendoza says this every time he gets asked about it, we have good players.
Yeah.
They should be hitting better.
Absolutely.
They just don't consist, at least not collectively. They do individually. But collectively, they haven't had these type of breakout games or the breakout game we saw at the game we went to a week and a half ago. So if they just played up to their regular, normal potential, you wouldn't have to worry as much about the pitching.
No, you're right. But you can't pitch to the level where you get knocked out in the second inning. Can't happen. Brandon's in Boston. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, Evan. I'm just MTK, first time, long time. Big fan of the show. Listen every day. But I just wanted to give a call because I was watching that Mets game last night, and I'm almost positive that Gary Cohen did get into the whole Charlie Kirk thing, and he went into the fact that they were friends. His wife did text.
Did he? Because then that's on me if I missed it, but I listened to it like twice just to make sure. I don't remember hearing that. So if I'm wrong, I'll gladly apologize because I didn't hear it. So you know what? I'll go back and listen to it. See, it will prove my point, except it'll be about me in terms of not doing your job well enough. Because I listened to it twice. I didn't hear a full explanation. Like, I had to go back and read stories to see that. But if I missed it, hey, I don't own up to it and admit I'm wrong. Let's go to Jody in Warren, New Jersey. What's up, Jody?
Hey, guys. F. Tom Brady. I just wanted to say, Juan Soto is a egotistical maniac. We could all agree on that. I'm telling you something. Is the lock of the day. Because of his sloppy play last night, he will hit a home run tonight. That's number one. And, Evan, you cannot be an IFO with the Yankees and the Giants because you're a hater. Man, I have one question for you. Let's make believe you're not on the air and we're just talking as friends. How many interceptions would you like to see Dart throw on Sunday? On that, I'll hang up. Love you guys.
Hater.
I don't think that's
major
true.
Hater.
That's not true at all. Not true at all. In fact,
if I set the over-under at 1.5, what would you go?
So this is a prediction.
Yes.
There's a big difference between what I want and predictions.
Yes.
Like, everything I've said about the Giants so far this season has been pretty accurate. Not because I'm a hater, but because I've been right. And I don't always want to be right, especially on negative situations. And by the way, I know that sounds very arrogant for me to say that, but am I wrong? I've been pretty right about the Giants this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was pretty right about the Giants last year.
It's been easy to be right about.
But you weren't. So if it's that easy, why weren't you?
Because I'm a fan of the team that was hoping for positives. My point is, in this town, unfortunately, we've seen a lot of negatives. So if you are not a fan of certain teams, and you can see what the rest of the country sees,
right,
it has been actually pretty easy. Evan, I got another one for you. We were all pretty right about the Jets the last couple of years. Where
absolutely.
You were positive. So that, I'm just saying, it comes with the circumstance when a team stinks.
I'm not rooting for Jackson Dart to throw five interceptions. I'm not. I got nothing against the kid. I guess the only thing, if we are being honest, that may get in the way is I don't necessarily want Sean to be that happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a slight part of me. Like, I admit, week one, I kind of wanted them to lose to the Commanders, so you'd have to go on that train upset. But in terms of, like, giant failures, I wouldn't say that. And when it comes to the New York Yankees, I'm so glad he brought them up. I don't like to say I told you so. I really don't. I'm not that kind of guy. But I heard a vibe on this radio station over the last 12 hours that I feel really good about. Because the vibe is, I told you so.
Right.
This entire season, there have been downs for the Yankees. No question about it. No doubt about it. There have been embarrassing moments. There have been bad series, losing to the Red Sox, all sorts of bad stuff. Totally get it. And the entire time I remained steadfast and said, they're the best team in the American League. And as we sit here today on September 24th, with the New York Yankees a game back of Toronto, who's falling apart, the Detroit Tigers falling apart, the Guardians racing to the American League Central, the Mariners taking the AL West, it is now undeniable. What I have told you, Sean, since March is now true, and every Yankee fan agrees. The New York Yankees are the best team in the American League. Sean Morash, say it with me.
The Red Sox are the best team in the American League and will beat the Yankees, unfortunately.
Come on!
Jeez, you're hating.
That's just the one team in the way. Look, and
hating on your own team.
I'm not hating my own team. I hope they shock me. I hope they surprise me. I got goosebumps last night, albeit versus the White Sox. But even last night was like, really? Game is must win here, and you're losing to the White Sox. You can't hit for most of the
night. Well, you are a self-hater, man.
Because I don't want to feel this way. Look, I'm pumped up about the playoffs for a lot of the reasons you laid out, because I think we find ourselves in another scenario like last year where you look around and go, maybe Evan's right. It's also by default, but who cares if it's by default that everybody else stinks? You know what I mean? Like, I don't think this is...
Last year, everybody else stunk. Did it bother you when you won
the
pennant?
No, it didn't, and that's the point. I thought that some of these teams were better than last year. Now you look around at the end of the year, and you're probably right. So I think two things could be true, right? They could be the best team in the American League, but this also isn't one of the premier great Yankee teams we've seen. It's kind of just they're a product of a league that stinks.
That response to me is very disingenuous, because it feels like you're moving the goalposts on the consistent point I've made for 6 months. Mm-hmm. I've never said this is a great all-time Yankee team, and I've certainly run down the American League quite a bit.
Right.
No question about it. I have, to the chagrin of you. Like, it's offensive that I've done it. That's not the point. The point is they're the most talented team in the American League.
Are we sure they're more talented than the Mariners?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure of it. Do you agree, Teak?
I mean,
I guess we'll find out, right? I mean,
on paper, yes. But again, it's just like the Mets. You got to put it together when it matters.
I understand, exactly. But are you scared of the Seattle Mariners as well as they're playing?
I don't think you are.
Scared's not the right word.
Yeah.
But I'm not exactly...
You're not confident that you're wiping right through them.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not confident that this team is getting through three rounds of the American League playoffs.
The Mariners have been to one postseason series in two decades. They got swept in the ALDS.
Why do I care about anything other than the 2025 Mariners?
Because you're not afraid of the Cleveland Guardians, who are the hottest team in baseball.
I'm not.
You use the history of them as a reason why. So if you're going to use the history of the Guardians, why wouldn't I bring up the history of the Mariners?
I think the Mariners are better.
And what have they accomplished over the bunch of years recently? What have they done? They missed the playoffs last year. They missed the playoffs the year before that. They got swept in the ALDS the year before that.
So what have the Yankees accomplished outside
of
not having Juan Soto?
With
Juan Soto.
What does that mean?
They were a different team last
year.
How many times are
you
going to argue about this?
Okay.
Juan Soto and Aaron Judge were like a two-headed, whatever you call those things, snakes.
We all know Juan Soto's not on the Yankees. You know who also wasn't on the Yankees last year? Max Fried.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Cody Bellinger. Jose Caballero. Like, there's a lot of things that are different.
There is fun elements to this Yankee team, and I hope I'm wrong. Why is it that I need to wave the pom-poms at every turn? Because the moment I wave the pom-poms, look at him fanboying out. So for once, I have a conventional thought that, you know what, I'm very suspect about this team, and then you're painting me the bad guy. I'm damned if I do and damned if I don't with you. Oh, it's blue-colored glasses. Oh, how do you not believe in your team? Let me just give you my honest feelings. I don't trust the Yankees. I want to, but they will burn us, and I see it coming. That's it.
And you'll be happy when it doesn't.
Right?
If it doesn't, you'll be happy.
Please be wrong.
Right.
Drape me with confetti.
I'm going to give you the last word. That's fine.
Right.
I made my point. You made your point. What the hell do you want to say?
No, I was just going to tell Sean, please, when Evan does this to me in May with the Knicks, have that same energy instead of doing this dirty work and then teaming up on me. Because I laid out off on that one. I could have, needled you as well, but I let you have a good rant there. Just,
Why does everything come back to the Knicks with Tommy?
Well, Knicks in 26.
The Knicks.
That's the one he cares most about.
The Knicks are the best team in the Eastern Conference. That's not me putting shade on anybody. That's the truth.
Well, that's before the season has started, for basketball has been rolled out.
But that's what I said about the Yankees before the baseballs got rolled out. It's the same thing. Like, I looked at the Yankees and said they're the best team in the American League. There were a lot of ups and downs, and through that, I battled through and said they still are. The Knicks last year, I mean, we dealt with this with the Knicks. I'm glad he brought them up. Because when they got smoked by the Celtics and smoked by Cleveland, all I heard was this garbage about, they can't beat them. And guess what happened? They beat the Celtics. I never, as a hater, and I am with the Knicks, I admit that, never did I say, oh, what a joke, you got no shot against them.
Right.
I was the honest one who told you do.
Jason Tatum did tear his Achilles.
They were up 3-1, bro.
I know. I'm just saying.
That's not fair.
I'm just saying.
I mean, it's hard to win that fourth, we've said.
But I get it's hard to win. And Jason said the other day, hey, I believe if I'm healthy, we would have come back. And maybe they would have. But guess what? They were down 3-1, and he got hurt. Don't make that an excuse. It's ridiculous. I'm sick of it. It's almost like you just need to defend the point of, well, they wouldn't have beat the Celtics. It was all crap.
No, they beat the Celtics. Good for them.
Of course they did. After we were told that they can't because they lost in the regular season. Just like Sean's telling us, well, they can't beat the Red Sox because of the regular season.
Okay.
Phooey.
Not about the regular season. It's just about his feel for the Red Sox.
Yeah, and it's based on the regular season.
Oh, yeah, okay. It's also based on the manager and our manager. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Alex Cora. He's Miller Huggins.
He might as well be. Be honest with you.
We'll come back with your telephone calls, 888-808-1019, plus more on the Giants' decision to move on from Russell Wilson.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show. We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off. No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning. We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters. That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.